Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're wrapping up the week as we've been celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The scripture is so clear in proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord, which was the fundamental cry of the apostles. Their preaching was to go forward and to declare to the whole world now that Jesus, Mary's son from Nazareth, is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And in Jesus, the unimaginable has happened, that heaven and earth has been united in a person, human flesh, destined to be food for worms, to be separated from God, to be eternally separated from God because of the reality of sin, has been brought to a place that is literally unimaginable. The mercy and love and power of God. What Jesus has revealed, friends, is the reality of God, God's plan, and where the human race is headed for all those who die in Christ. We were made in the image and likeness of God, eternal creatures who were fallen from the state of union with God because of the reality of sin and death. And Jesus comes to complete what and to heal the wound that Adam and Eve, our first parents, led us into by not trusting the Father, by disobeying God. Jesus came and he walked on the very earth that he created, and he showed us what it meant to be human. He showed us what this life's all about, the deepest stuff that we need to know. Who is God? Where are we from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Jesus revealed it all completely. And at the heart of it, what I'm trying to say all week is Jesus revealed on Calvary, and the reason he was raised and vindicated, he revealed from the cross that his Father was utterly and is utterly trustworthy, and that the road to total eternal life and vindication comes through obedience to God, following the footsteps of Jesus. St. Paul said, Christ came in the flesh and he was vindicated by the Spirit. That means he was raised to life in the power of the Holy Spirit, passing from death to life. And in that, every word Jesus ever spoke, every truth he ever revealed, his understanding of reality was completely vindicated. And everybody else either has a little bit of share in what Jesus has revealed or is totally bogus. He's the light of the world. He's the way. He's the way home for a lost race of people. He's the hope for the world because he's risen from the dead. And here's the essence of Christianity. Christianity, as St. Augustine said, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now the whole world has a choice, every single person. Where do you stand with Jesus? Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Deny ourselves, that really, really powerful thing in us called the flesh. That inordinate self-love, that willfulness that says, my will be done, not God's will be done. The desire for comfort, the desire to keep God a little bit at arm's length and not let him get too close. Don't get too radical. Don't be too religious. Don't be too spiritual. Don't look different than the people around you. You know, I think this is hard for every human being, but it seems to me, the older I get, it seems to be harder and harder for the more beautiful people in society. I mean, the elite, the cultural elite. Because their stakes in the culture are so high for them, right? That just, there's so much here you want. There's so much here you possess. There's so much here that you fought so hard to win the opinions of others and to find a place of prominence or whatever it might be. And you don't want to lose that. And right now, identifying publicly with Jesus is pricey. It's difficult. The teaching of the church is being mocked and laughed at and frowned upon. And it's right here, right now, every day, reality, it's being lived out. So much is at stake in the drama of your life and mine that's being lived out every day. Who are you? We define it every day. Jesus said, you know, the person who says to me, Lord, Lord, isn't going to enter the kingdom of God unless I look at their life. And they showed me through obedience and the ones who did the will of my Father, the ones who were willing to identify with me on earth, those are the ones I want to identify with in heaven. That drama is unfolding in every single human life. And what's at stake is either eternal life with Christ and sharing in his resurrection and his reality of living in the glory of the Father forever, or eternal separation from God. We're coming into a time, friends, that we may not think, I mean, we'd like for things not to be this way. We're at a time where the culture is getting more hostile toward the church, and the weakness of and the sins of the church are revealed, and the teaching of the church, that is not just the teaching of the church, it's the teaching of Jesus. It's the Christ, the Lord, the one who has all authority and power, things he believes about human nature when life begins and how eternally valuable life is, and that he alone has power over life and death, and we don't. He's clear, and the church communicates to us what Jesus gave to the apostles and passes on to us. And now the world and whole countries and nations and are coming against many of the things that Jesus revealed to us and the scripture reveals to us and God, how God made us, marriage, family, the meaning of human sexuality, all these things I'm talking about. Who the world belongs to. We're called to be stewards, right? To care for the world and the environment. We're supposed to love God, love neighbor, all of that stuff. That's so clear in the teaching of the church, so much of it now. The world doesn't like it. It's rejecting it. And so it's going to cost us more. It's beginning to cost us something to be identified with Jesus. And the joy that we celebrate this week, the reality of the promise of eternal life, the resurrection of Jesus, and the beautiful things that the apostles are saying, that, you know, we're meant to be, St. Peter says, you know, partakers in the glory that's going to be ultimately revealed in Jesus. And through him, you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. This is the normal Christian life, what it looks like. This St. Paul saying this slight momentary affliction of suffering and trial in this world is going to give way to an eternal weight of glory beyond compare for all those who are walking in Christ. I want to read again today this, at the end of the program, a reflection by a guy named Lee Camp, who was talking about the believer's cross. Because Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. If you want to follow me, he's saying, not in this world, but if you want to follow me into my resurrection and into glory and into my relationship with God the Father, if you want eternal happiness and freedom and joy beyond compare, you've got to take up your cross. And taking up the cross means obedience. It means radical and total obedience to God the Father and God the Father's will. Jesus said, everyone who walks in my footsteps will enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? What does it mean to take up the cross? You know, for many of us, I'm saying, yeah, my cross is, oh, my bed's uncomfortable, or, you know, I got sick, I got a cold, or some dreams I had about buying a home didn't work out, or a friend is mad at me, or I'm carrying a sickness or a disease or something like that. These are the kind of things that we think about as our crosses, you know, disappointments and difficult circumstances in this life that disrupt the kind of things we want in this world. But that's a very shallow way to look at it. I like the words of this man, Lee Camp. He put it this way. He said, the believer's cross is no longer any or every kind of suffering, sickness, or tension, the bearing of which is demanded by all of us, right? Upon all of us. But he said, the believer's cross must be, like his Lord's, the price of social nonconformity. Jesus' cross, Jesus' passion, came as the result of his refusal to bend the knee to the gods of this world. He came to fulfill the Father's plan, to obey the Father and establish the kingdom of God the Father. And that meant a collision between the gods of this world and the kingdoms and the idols and the self-worship that's in this world. Jesus exposed it. He was like a lightning rod. He revealed it. He revealed the sin-sick condition of the human heart, how deep it is and how total it is. He who is light and truth and love itself and mercy itself appeared in the flesh, and he communicated what that meant, and the world silenced him. It brutally killed him. It revealed the reality of what we're living in, friends. And Jesus died. He never gave in. He resisted even to the point of death, because he knew the whole purpose of his life was to love the Father, to obey the Father. Jesus connects love and obedience, friends. Feelings are not enough. Spiritual feelings or religious experiences are not enough. The question is, did you obey me? Did you obey my commands? Did you love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Did you love your neighbor as yourself? Did you make disciples in this world? It costs us to do that. And just as Jesus paid the ultimate price for social nonconformity, brothers and sisters around the world have done that for 2,000 years. In the States, we've been living on Easy Street, very comfortable existence for Christians. But the climate's changing. The tide is turning. And it's going to keep turning. And it's going to require of us social nonconformity. Lee Camp goes on, he said, "It is not like sickness or catastrophe and inexplicable, unpredictable suffering, but the believer's cross. It is the end of a path freely chosen after counting the cost. It is not an inward wrestling of the sensitive soul with the self and sin. It is the social reality of representing in an unwilling world the order to come." Friends, the apostles who are all reading from them and they're glorying in Christ and they're rejoicing, every one of them, just about every one of them, was martyred, was rejected because they refused to bend the knee to the broader culture that was trying to force them to do something they would never do, which is act against the Lord and against his anointed. Here's some reflections from St. Francis to just end the program. He said, "Our friends are all those who unjustly inflict on us tribulations and anguish and shame and injuries and sorrows and torments and martyrdom and death. We must have great love for them, since from what they inflict upon us, we have life eternal." That's a disciple. He goes on, he said, "Let's confidently pursue now the promises of God. Our life on earth is short. The punishment of eternity is real. Suffering here on earth is nothing, but the glory of heaven is forever." Those are the words of St. Francis of Assisi. Friends, that's what's at stake. That's what we celebrate this week. And that's what we need to embrace with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.